Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I'm just believing God for this series, and not just for this series, but just overall, that just in this church, in our services, and in your everyday life, that God is going to just begin to do greater and greater things, that we're going to see His manifest presence and what He desires to do. Listen, I believe with all my heart, He wants to do something incredible in your heart today, that by the power that He brings. And I want to pray today, and let's believe God. Let's believe God that what He wants to say in this time we share together, where His word spoken, that our hearts will be open, that He'll help me, He'll give me utterance to be able to share what He's put in my heart and what He has, more importantly, what's in His heart. And I'm believing God that as we come in these corporate times together, I'm believing God for His manifest presence. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that no matter what subject we're preaching and speaking about, I believe we serve a God that loves us intimately, a God who wants to show up and bring healing to our bodies, bring restoration to our life. So I want to believe, God, that even from the minute you drive on this campus to when you leave, during worship, that God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, began to do the works that only He can do. And I mean literally showing up in the power of His Spirit sweeping the room. As we pray, as we believe, God, that you come in here with one condition and you leave without it. I'm believing for that because we serve a living God. How many of you are believing with me for that? Would you join your heart with me and believe? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in your presence we come, in your presence we stand. We are so thankful. We're so, so thankful for Jesus. Lord, I ask you to help us today to be able to yield to what you'd want done and said. Oh, Father, we love you. You love us so much. Holy Spirit, have free course in this place. Have utter free course in my heart and in what you want done in this service. Lift people today. Heal people's bodies today. Restore people's souls today. Encourage the brokenhearted. Lift people with your great love and your great mercy and the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read two scriptures to you as we start the series, Hearing God. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and then Galatians chapter 4. So if you'll find Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4. We'll start here in Romans 8 and give you a moment to find it. And for me too. And in Galatians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. God's word is full of life, isn't it? Romans 8 and verse 14 says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Everybody say, cry out. Notice that he said here that as many as that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And he said, you did not receive a spirit when you came to Christ that would be one of bondage to bring you to fear, but one that you received that cries out that you've been adopted. And that it literally causing us to cry out, Abba, Father. And then he went on to tell us more intimately how God leads us. He said, for the Spirit Himself. Now, the Spirit, you understand we're not talking about divine wind. We are talking about the person of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The primary way God leads us is by bearing witness with our hearts, bearing witness with our spirit. Now, there's two primary, we should say, ways that you'll hear God's voice. Number one, the witness of your heart. The main one is God's word. And I want to look into some scriptures today that I believe will help every one of us hear the voice of God, because He's not silent. And he wants to speak in our everyday life, both through his word and by the power of his spirit, by witnessing. Now look over at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, say it out loud, Abba, Father. Now, the reason that's put in Scripture, and not just the translation of Father, because the word Abba, the translators didn't feel that it was that Father wasn't enough, so they left the original Greek there. What it really means is it's a term of intimacy. It's what you would hear a little boy or a little girl say when their dad comes home from work, Daddy, Daddy's home. And that child cries out. Listen to what he said. He said, he sent his spirit into our hearts, causing us to cry out, Daddy. Say, so why is that relevant to hearing God? Because until you understand the very first thing God reveals to you when you give your life to Christ is that he becomes your father and that he wants to deal with you as a father would love his child, as a parent would love his child or her child. If you look now, again at Galatians, the scripture says, now when God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Now, the first thing that happens when you give your life to Jesus, God sends forth the Spirit of his Son crying out in you, Father. Everyone say crying out. Listen, most people get uncomfortable when you cry out in church. I grew up in church. Somebody sneezed. It echoed through the room for an hour. It just was dead still. How many of you have been in places? If you go, if you go into a sacred place, sometimes maybe a funeral service, it's very sacred. It's very subdued. Have you ever watched golf? And somebody's putting, and the guy is in a booth 20 yards or miles away, and the guy goes to putt, and he says this, he's now putting. It's going to break left. And he's whispering like this, like the guy can hear him. But the truth of it is, the Bible says when God sent forth his Spirit into our Son, he cried something out. What do you mean cry? He yelled, Abba, Father. The first thing you should be aware of when you come to Christ is that you now have a Heavenly Father. That's what he said in Galatians. And then in Romans, he said, therefore you should cry out, but you can't cry it out of your own mouth unless you hear it first. And one of the reasons most Christians, I think the greatest reason Christians fail to be able to hear the voice of God is they do not understand he's your father. Here's something I know as being a father, and this applies to moms as well. Understand when the Bible speaks in the masculine, it's not excluding women. God made man male and female. So when you see the Bible speak in the masculine, it's referring to mankind. And our father, he desires to lead us. So how do I know that? I'm a father. There is no greater desire that I have as a parent than to be able to lead my children and to impart to them my will for their life. It's what you do. It's consumed our lives. It means more to me than all the money in the world. And when our children don't hear our voice, and we're going to talk to you about why people don't hear the voice of God today, they can make very, very unwise decisions and bring great harm and great loss and great injury to their life. The same way when we don't hear the voice of God. There is no greater desire in my heart as a parent than to be able to have my child hear my words, to hear my instruction from my heart. In fact, it's a desperation you have as a parent. And you know, the older your children get, the more desperate you become. You know, when they're little, you have, it's not that they're more pliable, it's just that you have more control. Then they get to the ages to where their ability to hear your voice, it's not the only voice that's out there. There's many other voices. And other people are competing for their heart. There's another kingdom competing for their heart. And you become almost desperate as a parent as you begin to impart things to your child. How many of you have ever shared things out of your heart with your kids and you know they heard you? But how many of you have ever spoken to your kids and in hearing they heard not? In seeing they saw not? It's just like that with our relationship with God. The first thing you must hear, if you're ever going to know how to hear God in your everyday life, if you're ever going to know how to pick up this Bible and know how it can speak to you, until you know that He's your Father, this will be a dead book to you. This book will be a book of rules. This book will be a book of judgment. This book will become one of condemnation and guilt. You will read things and think God is condemning you for what you don't have and what you don't know, when the truth of it is, He said, I want you to cry out, Daddy! Now, I got to tell you, when our kids were little and I came in the house, they would take off screaming my name. It was one of the greatest. I remember those moments. They're some of the greatest moments you ever have on the planet. Three kids running at me, screaming my name, tackling me, just grabbing you, climbing up your body, and I'm hugging them, and I'm kissing them, and I fall on the ground, and I'm biting them. I'm Italian, I bite. And I get their wrist, and I make a watch. Y'all know what that is? You bite, and you leave teeth marks. It looks like a perfect watch. It's awesome. And I'm hugging, they're laughing. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm going to be coming where all three of my kids will be home this afternoon at some point, and I'm going to run in the house. When I come in, no one's going to go, Daddy! They're not going to run and tackle me. And if all three of them did tackle me, you know, I'll need recovery. But there's something about the heart of a child. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to walk in the kingdom, you've got to come as a little child. So I'm pretty old. Not God's real old. He's the Ancient of Days. You're not that old. I mean, you're not even a second old in the context of eternity. But if you'll keep that understanding that you're crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy. And what is the desire of every father, every parent? Look at Proverbs 1, verse 8 says this. He said, My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. He said, hear it. Matthew 13:15 says this. Jesus said, For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and they should understand with their hearts and turn, then I would heal them. What he's saying is that there's so much I have for you, but your ears are dull of hearing. You don't understand my will for your life. You don't understand my purpose for your life. And I'm going to show you in the scripture today why we often close our eyes and our ears to the voice of God in our life. It happens to all of us. Now, I would suggest if you're here on a Sunday morning, you want to hear from God. Unless somebody brought you here under duress, and that can happen, you might be under threat of being here. If you're young enough and your parent get in the car and you're sitting there and saying, I'm here, but I'm not here. Unless you were drugged into the room, it's likely that you really have a hunger to go after God. But here's the difficult thing. How do we miss being able to hear the voice of God? What actually happens? What are the mechanics that occur that cause people to be dull of hearing? It happens to all of us. If you're a Christian any length of time, I promise you, what I'm going to share with you today has happened to you and will happen to you. But if you understand it, You're able to fight this battle, and you may veer a little bit, but you'll be able to get right back online. Here's the issue with most believers. Because they don't see God as their Father, when they do get off path, they keep going and going and going. And you know what people say? They say things like this. Well, you know what God's going to do. He's going to do something very damaging in your life to bring you back. And I've had people say, well, you know, God caused this horrible illness, or God caused this horrible accident, but it turned him back to God. Can you imagine? Can you begin to imagine if someone accused you of such a horrible thing, of your own child? How many of you have ever had your children not hear your voice? I have three, all three, just like you, just like we were as kids. But when they failed to hear my voice, I didn't cause them to have a car accident. I didn't cut their brakes. In fact, my daughter Sienna was just, you know, starting to drive, and it was winter. And she was about to drive. She was driving to school that morning. And she was about to leave the house. I said, sweetheart, listen to me. The roads, it's just a little bit of snow. And we live on the top of the hill, so it's not really steep, but it gets steep at one point. I said, when you go down the hill, make sure you don't use the gas, just from the beginning all the way down, just keep the brake going. Well, that'll mess up the great brake pads. I don't care. It's my daughter. I can buy great brake pads. Well, she said, okay, and she got in the car. About 20 minutes later, my daughter walks in the house. Walks. And she's crying. And not limping badly, but limping. I said, so honey, what happened to you? She said, Daddy, I hit a tree. She went down our hill. She wasn't literally, she wasn't 150 yards from our house. She didn't hear me, even though I spoke to her. And she now heard my voice when I said, baby, at first I hugged her, and she said, Daddy, the car really messed up the car. I said, sweetheart, burn the car. I don't care about the car. I care about you. And we walked. She was able to, we walked back down, and she messed up the car. Thankfully, she hit the tree because she would have went over a hill. But do you know I gave her exact instructions, but she didn't hear it. My desire was that she would not hit the tree. Religion will tell you God will put the tree in front of you to get you back on the path. And I said to her, I said, sweetheart, didn't you hear me? She said, no, Daddy, I really didn't. I just went, okay, and left. I said, did you remember what I said? She said, Daddy, I didn't even hear what you said. Can I tell you, today, she drives relatively cautiously down the hill. But how many of you know it would have been a whole lot better had her caution been a result of my voice instead of not hearing my voice? See, a father's heart, a mother's heart is broken when their child doesn't hear their voice. The consequence is it equally breaks our heart. But religion will tell you God will bring the consequence so that you will hear his voice. The Bible didn't say that when you got saved, that he sent forth tragedy into your life that you might hear his voice. He didn't say that he'd bring guilt that you might hear his voice. He said, I sent my spirit, the spirit of my son, into your heart. And the second he came in you, he cried out, Daddy. And then in turn in Galatians, he said, therefore we cry out, Daddy. Until that becomes your understanding of God, you cannot hear the voice of God. This book will be a book of legalism and rules to you. Instead of seeing it as the instruction of your Father who loves you, you'll see it as everything but. Now let's look in the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's delve into why we don't hear the voice of God. How is it that we become dull of hearing? Why is it that my daughter heard my voice but didn't hear my voice? And I mean, she's generally speaking, she hears my voice. Now, part of it's my fault because sometimes when they're leaving, I tell them I love them like 17 times and I grab their face and I squeeze it and then I bite them. So you bite your grown children, not my son, but I do bite my daughters. I just grab them and I get their hand and I bite it a little. He said, there's something wrong with you. Well, leave me alone. God loves me. So she probably in her mind was thinking, I was saying, baby, I love you. I love you. I love you. But that wasn't quite what was happening. So I was giving her instruction and she could not hear my voice. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the understanding of how to hear the voice of God. And this will teach you how you get off the track and become dull of hearing. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Say out loud, there are things God has prepared for me. So there are things God has prepared for you, those that love him. In this scripture, and I've heard this quoted again and again and again. Well, eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even entered into the heart of man, and things that God's prepared for those that love him, you just never know. But I'm thinking, can you read the next verse? Listen to what he said. But God has revealed them. Everybody say has. What tense is that? God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him? In other words, you don't know what's in anybody's heart. Only that person knows what's in their heart. Do you know that's why the Bible tells you not to judge people? Because you don't know what's in the heart of a person. The Bible says God does not judge after the outer appearance, but after the heart. We as humans can only judge after the outer appearance. And he said, no man knows what's in a man's heart except that man. You can discern it. You can listen, make a judgment about it. But the Bible said, you won't be accurate. Only that man knows what's in his heart. Sometimes we see behavior in people. You can judge right and wrong behavior. That's fine. But never judge the person. Because you don't know what's in their heart. I've seen some people all mixed up in their life, making really bad choices, but with a heart after God. And God's dealing with them and helping them. And it's going to take some time, but he's a father. How many of you realize when you have kids, you work with them. And you help them grow and you help them mature. And you love them. But here we see in the scripture where he's talking about eye is not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered into the heart of man. The things God's prepared for them that love them, but he's revealed them to us through his Spirit. He reveals these things by the Spirit of God. And only that man really knows what's going on in this heart. So don't judge the person. And I've seen people who look good on the outside. That after time, your fruit, you'll be known by your fruit. They were so hard-hearted. You could have cracked a walnut on their heart. And yet, if you judge from the outside, one looked like they had it together, the one looked like they were messed up. Don't judge people. Let God be the judge. Judge right and wrong, of course. Don't, let's not get into the silliness that everybody's right and nothing's wrong. That's absurd. But here's the reality of it. Only that man knows what's in him. Now listen to what he goes on to say. Even so, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit that's in God. Now listen, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, in order, now listen, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Why does he say, the first thing he said, I want you to know the things that I've prepared for you. And I've placed my Spirit within you that you might know the things that are freely given to you of your Father. Everyone say freely.
Freely.
That means you don't earn it. The minute you earn something, it ceases to be free. The minute you have to pay anything, I mean anything, a fraction of a penny, it is no longer free. What is it that children have in your home every day of their life? It's free. My children earned nothing. Neither have yours. Now, they have responsibilities in our house, but how many of you know their responsibilities don't pay the bills? Well, I'll cut the grass, Dad. Well, that's great. I'm paying the mortgage. Dad, I want a car. Okay, great. I'll put the gas in it. Well, how about paying the insurance? It's free. As long as they're under your roof. Now, you want them to grow up and go on their own roof, pay their own bills. Hallelujah. Anyway. Right? But you know why they're under our roof? It's free. You know what my kids are going to expect today? To eat. They will expect to eat. And let me tell you, if there's no food, they'll come and tell you. Hey, there's really nothing to eat here. Now they're old enough. Now they're like, do you want to make a list? I'll go grocery shopping. And they will. They'll go grocery shopping for us. Now that Alexa, our youngest, has her license, and that's only been like a week or so, she wants to go shopping every day for us. But you know what I also notice when they go shopping for us? They take my debit card. And my son, I love my son, but can't send the boy shopping without real instruction, because he likes to cook, and he'll buy some spice, and it's this little thing, and I said, well, where'd you find that? Oh, you need it to make such and such. And I go, well, that's wonderful. How much was that? Oh, just $19. They know the things freely given to them of their parents. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, $19 spice. But the boy, Dad, you need to have these kind of mushrooms. The other ones won't work. The other's three times the cost. Oh, I didn't know that. Let me tell you, boy, when you start paying, you're going to know that. He said that you might know the things, that you might know the things, that you might know the things. God wants you to know the things that he wants to freely give you. And most Christians live and die, and never know that God wants to bless them, that God wants to help them. Galatians said that you are a son, and if you're a son, you're an heir. And if you're an heir, there's an inheritance. And Jesus died to put that inheritance into effect. Then he rose from the dead to be the testator of his own will, to be the executor of his own will. But you want to make sure your will gets enforced? Raise from the dead and enforce it yourself. That's what he did. He said, and within this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, I want to reveal to you what I freely give you by the power of my Spirit, that eye has not seen, that ear has not heard, that the heart of man, it isn't even entered into the heart of man, how rich and abundant the things are that God's prepared for those that love him. He said, I want you to know them. And I want you to know they're freely given to you. And I reveal them to you by my Spirit. You have to know how to hear God, but you'll never hear God until you understand that he's your Father. Now, some of us in this room have been poorly prepared to understand a Heavenly Father because of our earthly experience. And that can make it more difficult. Maybe your father was absent, or maybe your father was not a great dad. But your Heavenly Father isn't like that. And so one of the greatest opportunities I've had is getting to be a dad, because now I understand what it means to have a father's heart. I know what it means to have your children, and if I had four children or five, they'd all be on my heart constantly. I don't mean worry and fear, but they're on my heart. You're on the heart of the Father to the extent he so loved you that while you and I were yet dead in our sin and trespass, Christ died for the ungodly. You are so on the heart of God that he shed blood to purchase you. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? Religion will tell you to earn it. If you read this book without seeing him as your father, you will try to earn it. You can't earn what's given to you by right of birth. It's freely given to you. It's freely given to you. Yeah, but people will take advantage of God. Yes. How many of you have kids? They ever taken advantage of you? So, well, God won't put up with that. Yes, he does. He so loves you. He puts up with all of us. And my daughters, They know exactly what to say to their father. My son can't manipulate me the same way. It's just, he's a male and it's a little different. But my daughters, they say my name. No, I mean it. When they say it, they just say, my son calls me Dad. My daughters say, Daddy. I mean this sincerely. When I hear them say my name, I'm ruined. And they know when they're going to ask me for something, and they do it as a, it's kind of a joke now. It's even the way they say my name. They'll go, Daddy. And I go, what do you want? And if it's not something ridiculous, but if it's just, you know, Daddy, can we go get ice cream? Can we just go for a ride and get ice cream? Daddy's like, yes, sweetheart, we can get ice cream. Anything else you want? Daddy, there are these shoes. Why do they have confidence to come to us with not just what they need, but what they want? Because they know how much we love them. Do you know how few Christians have an understanding of their Father that even remotely comes close to that kind of love? Now, let me be truthful. My love for my children and God's love for me are not worthy to be compared. My love for my children, I can't understand it. It's so vast. But the love of the Father toward His children is so much greater that it's not worthy to be compared. And yet most Christians never accept the love of the Father, even to the level of a natural love, let alone a divine love. Look what he goes on saying, verse 15. These things we also speak, the things that are freely given to us of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words, we could say, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges or discerns all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Talk about hearing God. He said, I don't just want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to understand how I think. And he didn't say we can pray and fast and get the mind of Christ. He said we have the mind of Christ. The way my children have access to my refrigerator, you and I have access to the mind of Christ. But I want you to notice three things that these comparisons that he makes in this scripture. He compares having the Spirit of God to the spirit of this world. He compares God's wisdom with having man's wisdom. And he compares the spirit of man with the natural man. Now let me walk you through how our ears get dull. Here's how we should be hearing God's voice: through our spirit. Remember he said in Romans 8, he bears witness with what? Our spirits, that we are the children of God. In fact, in here he said, I bear witness on the inside of you. And he pours into you godly wisdom that comes from his very spirit. Remember, you can't know the things except that you know the Spirit of God. But most Christians don't live that way. In fact, there's points in our lives when all of us don't live that way, and we do just the opposite. We live within the natural man, and we go then from the natural man to man's wisdom, and we go from man's wisdom to the spirit of this world or to the culture. Anybody have Wi-Fi in their home? How many of you do know at this point in the history of technology, how many of you know what Wi-Fi is? Okay, we're good then. I at least understand Wi-Fi. But you know, when I come to church, I send my message from home. And when I come here, I have my laptop back in a room back here. And I make final edits when I come, and I actually make them in the morning before I even come out. I'm praying about some things, and I'll make adjustments. But I need to download that original message. But we don't have a direct connection back here. It's Wi-Fi. So I'll go to turn the computer on, and where the Wi-Fi connects, this little circle just keeps doing this. And it means there's no Wi-Fi connection. And so my idea of IT is I smack it a few times, and they told me that doesn't work. I thought they're like the old televisions. There's a tube, you know. And so I'll reboot the computer, and it still won't work. And I call someone from our IT department, and I'm getting nervous. It's like, I need this. I need this information. But I can't download it until the Wi-Fi gets connected. That's exactly what happens when a Christian lives out of the natural man instead of out of their heart. And that natural man is directly connected to always seeking the wisdom of men, which is connected to the spirit of this world. Listen, which is connected to the Father of all lives. I have people say to me often, Pastor, you know, I'm a Christian, or I'm not yet a Christian, or whatever. And to be honest with you, look, I love the Lord, and yeah, Jesus is good, and I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but come on now. I mean, I'm just not, like, really spiritual. In other words, I haven't made the decision yet to follow, but let me suggest to you that you have. There is a kingdom you follow every day of your life. One seeks to give you life and life abundantly. One seeks to show you the things freely given to you of God. One seeks to cause you to be blessed when you go in and blessed when you go out. The other kingdom says, I want to steal, I want to kill, and I want to destroy you. And the deception is that when we're not serving God, we're neutral. When we're not being dominated by our inward man, we're not being dominated by the Word of God or the wisdom of God, we're not being dominated by the Spirit of God, that we're just kind of neutral. There is no neutral. There are only two kingdoms. Well, I don't believe in that other kingdom. And you've been deceived enough. You're hook, line, sinker, fisherman in his boots in the wrong kingdom, and you're trapped as long as you just... What a great deception. I don't believe in darkness. Well, there you go. Take a look. Can you watch the news? There is so much darkness. And when we don't yield from the inward man, and we're going to get into the mechanics of this as we teach this out. But until you start from the premise, he's my Father and he loves me. Yeah, but I've messed up. He loves me. Yeah, but Pastor John, I mean, I messed up. He loves you. I've got three kids. They've made bad choices. It has no impact on my love for them. In fact, the more significant the issue, the more damaging it is to me as their dad. The more grieving it is to me. It's not the worse they get, the angrier I get, and the more distant. It's just the opposite. I'm drawn to them. My heart is so toward them. And if they can't hear your voice, and if we don't hear the voice of God, if we become dull of hearing, we will listen to the natural man which will give us the wisdom of this world, which will lead us to the spirit of this world, who the head of that institution, the head of that organization, if you will, the Bible said, Jesus said, is Satan, and he seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's why bad things happen to good people. Because God is trying to lead us on a path of righteousness, a path where he is showing the things that belong to us. But very often, that isn't the only reason, but largely is because our natural man is governing our life. I don't know if you're like me. That happens to me all the time. Anybody married? How many of you always are led by your inward man and the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God in the context of your marriage? Hallelujah. How many of you ever just get ugly? You gonna lie in church? How many ever say things that just... Because remember, he said, these things we speak. How many of you ever said things in the context of your marriage that didn't make it any better, kind of made it worse? How many of you ever just had just a bucket of stupid come out? You might have, listen, if you brought kids to church today, you probably did it on the way to church. If you had little ones particularly, there was a fight. But if we don't understand this simple principle, that he's your Father, then we so easily can slip over into condemnation. We can so easily slip into just living out of the natural man. And we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, where you live out of the natural man, which is connected to the wisdom of men, which is connected to the spirit of this age. That's why you'll hear me say 1,000 times over, don't let the spirit of this world tell you how to do anything. You and I have to make a decision, is will this book be your final authority? Because if it is, this is the process by which your inward man, connected to God's wisdom, breathed by the Spirit of God, reveals to you the free things that He's freely given to you. And isn't it something? I don't know if you've experienced this as I wind this down this morning. I know I have. When I go to pray, I know what the Word says, and I know other things I'm telling you are true, but my first inclination is, Lord, I love you, Lord. Forgive me for whatever I should have done, didn't do, and nothing wrong with repentance, okay? But when you start, when you come to the Father with, God, if I promise, and I won't, and I shouldn't have, and you're no longer coming expecting to be freely given. He doesn't give to you because of who you are. He gives to you because of who He is. Oh, how He loves you. And just like my kids, and I'll close with this simple illustration. The older you get as a child, the harder it is to go back to your parents when you've done wrong. Because now a lot of other things cloud your mind. Let me tell you, you get a 3 or 4 year old and they're doing wrong, they forget like that. It's been years since I've told this story, and I'll close with it. I get a call, and this is back when we were in the old building way over on Freedom Road. And actually, Vicky, who's our worship leader now, was my assistant then, and she broke in on an appointment I was having and said, it's Michelle, you have to take the call. And I know she would not do that, so you know your stomach sinks. And here's all it says, come home. I said, honey, what's the matter? Come home. I said, honey, is there something wrong? She can't talk. Come home. Not crying. There's a little tinge of, I want to kill somebody in her voice. So I said, I'm in an appointment. She said, come home. I said, and so I stopped the appointment, and I'm driving home. I pull into our driveway, and in our garage are a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old completely naked, covered from head to toe in paint. It's all over the garage. It gets better. My son found the paint. And that's back up. He had a condition. We don't have time to go into that at the time. And so he would do things like that. But he brought the paint into the kitchen, took the lid off, and painted the whole downstairs. Hardwood, carpet, island. Whoever owns our house now, I don't know who lives there. I think it's been sold 3 or 4 more times. If they'll look real closely at the cracks in their hardwood, there's paint. And all I could see, because it was real bright and it was dark in the garage, is when I finally saw them, all I could see are their eyes and their mouth. She's calling poison control. She's worried that this is. And so she gets their little kids' baby pool, and she has a hose, and she's squirting them outside butt naked. Just. But can I tell you something? They started to have fun. They ruined our house. She's squirting the hose on these children. They forgot they ruined our house. And they're like, woo-hoo, naked, just playing outside. This is fun. Woo! Mom's rubbing on us and getting stuff off of us. This is fun. And you know what they did while we cleaned? We put on a video so that they would be distracted. And I'm cleaning, and we're scrubbing, and we're trying to get the stuff before it dries, and here's all you hear in the other room. It's a little kid laughing. Let me tell you, come to Him as a little child. He loves you. And that's why the Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your transgression from you. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. And when that revelation pierces your heart, you will know not that you can squeeze direction out of God, but that He freely gives you His plan for your life. He freely gives you the things you need to fulfill that purpose. He is faithful to 10,000 generations, and He'll be faithful to you and to me. So we're going to cover this in this series. There's so much in my heart. I hope we just have enough weeks to get through it. I just need a couple years and we'll be all right. There's so much in this. It's so much. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And He wants to reveal to you and to me the things He's freely given to us because He loves us so. Oh, the love of the Father. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we go any further in this service, I want to pray for God's presence in this room to touch your life. I don't know what you need. If you have a need in your life, I don't care if it's physical. Maybe you're just in the position. Maybe you're a Christian, but you just feel like so far from God. And you're willing today to say, Father, touch my heart. I yield to you. I want to live over on that other side of the ledger. I want the Wi-Fi to work. I want to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, I want to believe God for the gifts and operations of His Spirit to sweep this room. Why? Because He loves you. Yeah, but you didn't talk about healing. He loves you. But I have other needs. He loves you. I want to pray a prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive from God right now, right where you're seated, whatever your need is, just lift your hand right now. Are you ready to receive from a Father that loves you? You ready to open the refrigerator and just eat because He loves you? Say, but I messed up. Just get over into that little tub and laugh and get while they're squirting the water on you. Forget the past and let the love of the Father swell up inside you and let Him love on you. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you. I ask you in the name of Jesus to manifest your presence in this room. For people's hearts that have been broken, for people's bodies that are sick, minds that are oppressed, whatever the need might be. Whether they're in this room, they're out watching on the TVs, whether they're kids in kids' rooms, if they're on this campus, I pray the power of your Spirit to sweep this place, to bring the manifestation of your power in real time and in real life and right now to touch people's hearts and lives. I thank you for the healing power of God. I take authority over that which would bind and destroy your people. In Jesus' name, I pray your healing power to sweep this room. Things impossible with men are possible with you. I pray your supernatural power to sweep this room. In Jesus' wonderful name, his heads are bowed and his eyes are closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Savior of your life, you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you. And I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in the prayer. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord, and I do not. Oh, the price he paid. Oh, the price he paid to make people like you and me who were sin-stained right with him. And the only way of eternal life is accepting Christ. And the decision not to accept him is the decision to reject him. So this morning, I'd ask you, if you don't know Christ, do you want to receive the one who gave his life for you and receive eternal life and have your sin debt vanish away and leave this place a child of God? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ. I'm not sure. Would you please include me in a prayer to invite Jesus in my heart? And I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Lift your hand real high where I can see it. Do it right now. We're going to pray. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed. Thank you so much. Eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I just want to make certain everybody in this room has had that opportunity. One last moment. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away, and I am heaven bound, and I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.